Psalm 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in a step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Janet, look forward to hearing from you.
Good morning to each one. I feel a little overwhelmed because all the parts of the worship have been so beautiful so far and have led very well into green and growing. So I feel like I maybe can't measure up. That's a confession. Not supposed to start with confessions. Anyway, I'm very happy to be leading this reflection this morning and also hearing that April is doing well. And as I was getting ready, and I love this Psalm 1, I thought of the tree song, and I think we're going to sing it at the close of the sermon, but I'd like to read at least some of the words and maybe all of them. I almost can hardly say it without singing it, but I won't. I saw a tree by the riverside one day as I walked along, straight as an arrow and pointing to the sky, growing tall and strong. How do you grow so tall and strong? I said to the riverside tree. This is the song my tree friend sang to me. I have roots growing down to the water. I have leaves reaching up to the sunshine, and the fruit that I bear is the sign of the life in me. I am shade from the hot summer sundown. I am nests for the birds of the heaven. I'm becoming what the maker of trees has meant me to be, a strong young tree. What lovely words. So I'm not speaking this morning about going green for the environment's sake, but that is a very important topic today. The green and growing theme for me began last fall as I sat by one of the windows in the sunroom where I usually sit in the mornings, and I was looking out at the lush green grass at that time after a few weeks of lack of rain and the grass getting browner and browner. And after a couple weeks, it was green again. I love green. I would never think, or at least I've never really thought of green as my favorite color, but maybe it is because I love the green. And now, especially after all the weeks of dryness that we've also had and the dry grass, to see it turning a little bit green slowly is lovely. Wes and I were at Camp Deer Park during this past week in New York, and we were among the trees, and they were gorgeous. It was lovely. It's like being in a little bit of heaven, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what heaven will be like, but here we are. So Psalm 1 is, we are like green trees. I think that Psalm 1 serves as an introduction to the whole book of Psalms, which follows. It describes happy people over against wicked. And the happy people compare favorably to the sinners. Well, that doesn't really come as a surprise, does it? Happy people, I hope that includes us, don't want to walk in the way of sinners. In contrast to the scoffers who arrogantly refuse all instruction, happy people delight in reading and keeping God's teaching. And oh, that it were as easy as it sounds, right? So those folk who delight in God's instruction are like trees planted beside streams of water. They never lack the needed resources to sustain their lives. Their roots are in the right place, beside that water which represents God's life-giving teaching. Being well-rooted is what allows trees to survive drought and to bear fruit. We people today who do the same also have a resource for sustaining our lives in any circumstance. As one scholar says, the way of the righteous is not so much a reward as a result of life's connection with the source of life. So, as I was preparing, I realized that the word green is not found in Psalm 1. Well, that's okay. We get the idea of tall, stately, sturdy, green trees by the water's edge, thriving, yielding fruit, because they are by the water's edge, and their roots go deep down to that life-giving source. They prosper. That is not true for the wicked. They are like the chaff, the fluff. They disappear. They flutter off in the breeze. They don't amount to anything, and they won't stand well in the end. Maybe there are times that it does feel like they amount to a lot. This psalm, however, isn't only about trees. They are essential to life as we know it on earth. But it is for us. We are the ones, we, who are to flourish like trees. I'd like to look for a moment at Hildegard of Bingen, who lived in 12th century Germany during an era of turmoil, of war, the Crusades, and which also gave birth to the Christian Renaissance. She herself was placed in a hermitage when she was 8, under the tutelage of Jutta, who also became her close friend and mentor. Hildegard became a prolific and creative writer of songs, poems, and 9 books. She did not shy away from writing letters to emperors, to popes, to nuns, to nobility, and more. You can easily read about her online or in other resources. Well, Hildegard created a word, viriditas. I suppose that's Latin, and I don't know how to spell it exactly. But it's greening power. She spoke and wrote of the earth's exquisite and lush greening of trees and grasses. She wrote that all creation and humanity in particular is, in quotes, showered with greening refreshment, the vitality to bear fruit, end of quote. She must have liked green as much as I do. Where did she get this from? Scholars speculate that first, probably from scripture, maybe like Psalm 1 that we just read. Or, for example, the prophet Hosea writes, I am like a cypress evergreen. All your fruitfulness comes from me. That's Hosea 14:8. She also meditated much on the idea of persons as vines and living branches from John 15. She was deeply excited about the promise that we are to bear fruit. She believed that Christ brings lush greenness to shriveled and wilted people and institutions. She saw the Holy Spirit as greening power in motion. She had lots of word pictures that are lovely to think about, making all things grow. And she lived in the lush green Rhineland Valley, which was greatly blessed with rich soil, flourishing fruit and vineyards. Hildegard was very concerned with the idea of drying up. She contrasted drying up to the greening power or moistness. A dried up person or culture loses its ability to create and to be co-workers with God. We are not to dry up. We are to be green and flowering co-workers with God versus having a dried up heart. I want to have a moist heart. A friend and I kind of coined that phrase, although I suppose it exists other places as we thought about this years ago. So then, how do we nourish our spiritual lives and keep them green and growing and moist? We might think of this similarly to how we keep or kept our vegetable and flower gardens flourishing, the dirt enriched, relatively weed-free. That's a job. As we sow seeds and wait for sprouts and nurture the tiny stems without destroying them and wait for the fruit. How are we doing this very same thing with our spiritual lives? I think this is what this psalmist is writing about. It feels so basic to think of taking time to read and pray. But I'm saying this because I fail so often and I wilt. Psalm 1 tells us that in order to grow green, like strong trees by the river, we need to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. Well, that's a big idea, isn't it? And we need to start small. I have also tried and failed. I do like to get up early in the morning. My intention is make the coffee, feed my cat Pilgrim, or Pilly as I call him, and sit down at my certain window to read and to pray. And I do. And usually when Wes gets up a little bit later, I am sitting there. But often there is a much longer space between getting up and sitting down than I would like there to be. I see so many other things in the kitchen or wherever. So my motto for the last number of many years is just sit down. Just sit down. But I don't always do that very consistently. Maybe if I confess that this morning, it will help me be more faithful. You can ask me when you see me the next time. I don't know what my answer will be. We can thrive. We have, where most of us live, green outdoors all around us, blue skies filled with gorgeous white clouds and sunlight and rain. We need rain. I love rain. Ducks, geese, chipmunks, cows, pigs, farmland, lush farmland all around us. The rainy days which we need, I love those equally well, with raindrops splattering on the windows, refreshing everything growing. So love and enjoy the spaces around you. Observe. Take your work outside when you can. Be silent. Let your body and spirit pray, even without words. We can turn our thoughts into reflections of God's presence in everything that we do in order to become alive and thrive. Practice makes pilgrims, says author Diana Butler Bass. So let's be disciples then in whatever way we sense Jesus calling us day by day. It's also important to remember, which I sometimes forget, that God doesn't require perfection or that all Christians are out of one mold. Salvation is not because we've earned it by our works, but by the love and grace of God and our faithfulness daily to the best of our ability. I'd like to close with a little story. I lived for a good many years in Guatemala City, serving and teaching with Semilla, the Latin American Anabaptist Seminary. My good friend, Linda Whitmer, lived there actually years before I had moved from Honduras to Guatemala, and she served among the Kekchi. They are almost rural, completely rural campesinos, farmers who live and farm the mountainous land. There is a large and flourishing Mennonite church there, as well as Nazarene and other groups. The Mennonite church invited me to preach one time at their church assembly. The building was packed, and I don't remember much about the evening or my sermon except this little incident. To introduce the sermon, which focused on the sower and the seed, which fell on all types of ground, I had asked for a group of Kekchi to dramatize that parable. They were all men because women do not plant. Plant is a pretty sacred task, and women couldn't do that, and they normally didn't do drama either. They did so, that little drama, in very dramatic movements. I remember just being amazed as the corn grew before our eyes. I had also asked the leaders to have some baskets prepared with dry corn kernels so as to be able to pass those out so that each person had a dry corn grain in their hands as we thought about the seed falling on all kinds of terrain and sprouting. I could have omitted passing them the grain of corn. They are so familiar with corn. It's absolutely essential to their lives. They eat freshly made tortillas 3 times every day. What I did omit and should not have was to pass the baskets again to collect the dried kernels. They didn't know what to do with them after we had kind of spoke about them as they held them in their hands. They couldn't just throw them on the floor or put them in their pockets or idly play with them for the rest of the service. There was an uneasiness in the whole room. Fortunately, the ushers realized this. I did not realize it at the moment. And so they passed out the baskets again to collect the grains of corn. I am sure that not one of those grains was lost or mishandled or dropped onto the floor. Corn is sacred. All life, all of God's creation, every grain of corn is sacred and holy. In fact, the Mayan tradition says that people were created from corn. We might say everything, including every grain and stalk of corn, are like trees, green and growing. You don't harm nature unnecessarily, and when you do, you must ask forgiveness in Kekchi land. Surely all of us could take on something of these attitudes of caring for and respecting all of creation as part of our own response to Psalm 1. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may we grow tall as trees and as corn. May we be green and flourishing as long as we live, and bear fruit in whatever way you have given each of us to do so, until you also take us home. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.